sing these songs as I often do, but every song must end, and you never do. So I throw up my hands and praise you again and again, 'cause all that I have is a hallelujah. Just one move with my arms stretched wide, I will worship you. So I throw up my hands and praise you again and again, 'cause all that I have is a heart.
You saw me at my very worst, when I expected disappointment. Love was all I knew. My sin was deep, your grace was deeper. My shame was wide, your arms were lighter. My guilt was great, your love was greater still. You ran to me when I was naked and clothed me in your righteousness. Pulled me from the depths of darkness into your light again. Oh, into your light again. My sin was deep, your grace was deeper. My shame was wide, your arms were wide.
I'm on the I see you, child, though you can't see me. And I know your thoughts before you even think. I heard every last prayer you prayed, though I answered all the time. You just didn't hear my reply. And I know it's not easy. Don't you give up on me. Don't you give up on me. Cause the darker the night gets, the brighter the light is. Don't you give up on me. Don't you give up on me. You ain't seen what I promised. Child, we're just getting started. I'll be your way when there's no way out. And I'll be your strength when your strength runs out. And if you walk into the fire, I'll be right there in the flames. I wouldn't have it any other way. It's loving you. Getting started.
if you serve a God that can do anything but fail, come on and stand to your feet and worship him with us on this morning. Good morning to you, Ascend Church. Anything is possible. Let's declare it this morning. Here we go.
There is no shadow that has ever overcome your light. And there is no rival that could ever stand against your might. You've always been with us. Every battle you've already won, we've already won. There is no weapon that has ever left a mark on you. And there is no army with the power to conquer truth. You've always been with us. Every battle you've already won, we've already won. Show me one thing he can't do. Show me a mountain he can't move. He's the God of the breakthrough, and anything is possible. Show me one thing that's too hard. Show me waters he can't part. He's the God of the breakthrough, and anything is possible. It's possible. There is a kingdom that's advancing at the speed of light. And in his kingdom, every dead thing is bound to rise. God, our Redeemer, he's faithful to revive. Oh, he will revive. Yeah. Show me one thing he can't do. Show me a mountain he can't move. He's the God of the breakthrough. Anything is possible. Do you believe it? Show me one thing that's too hard. Show me waters he can't part. He's the God of the breakthrough, and anything is possible. It's possible. Now all of my fear I will turn into praise. Shake off despair as I sing out your name. A victory dance I will dance out in faith. I will crush disappointment and break every chain. Now all of my fear I will turn into praise. Shake off despair as I sing out your name. A victory dance I will dance out in faith. I will crush disappointment and break every chain. Now all of my fear I will turn into praise. Shake off despair as I sing out your name. A victory dance I will dance out in faith. I will crush disappointment. Show me a mountain he can't move. He's the God of the breakthrough, and anything is possible. Do you believe it? Yeah. Show me one thing that's too hard. Show me waters he can't part. He's the God of the breakthrough, and anything is possible. It is possible. Nothing's too hard for you, God. All power's in your hands. Anything is possible.
You are the King of my life. All right, in this part of the service, we'd like to have invite our prayer partners up here up front. And we'd like to invite anyone who's in need of prayer this morning. Don't be shy. We want to pray and agree with you in Jesus' name. Amen.
We're inviting your presence so that we can experience supernatural favor. We want your blessing. We want your signature in our lives.
Lord, bless you and keep you. Make his face to shine upon you. Be gracious to you. The Lord turn his face toward you and give you peace. The Lord bless you and keep you. Make his face to shine upon you and be gracious to you. The Lord turn his face toward you and give you peace. Amen.
Children and their children. for you. He is 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 for you. For you, he is 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 for you.
Because of of victory. The Bible says overwhelming victory is ours in Christ Jesus. That means if it looks like you're going down and it looks like the battle's being lost, don't believe what you see. Because just you remind yourself, remind the devil, remind your circumstances, overwhelming victory is mine. He says he'll cause all things to work together for your good.
Yes.
Say thank you, Lord.
Thank you, Lord.
Everything,
everything
always works together for my good. In Jesus' name. Amen.
Amen.
Amen. Morning, family. We serve an awesome God. I always get so stirred up and encouraged when we sing these words of straight out of the Bible. It builds a hope and a faith and strengthens my faith. How about you?
Amen.
Amen. Well, won't you just turn and greet someone, tell them how glad you are to see them, and we're going to be seated right now. To those watching online, welcome to Ascend Church. We still have members traveling and enjoying seeing their family in various places over the holidays. So welcome to you watching online this morning. And it's good to be in the house of God, isn't it? Amen. Amen. You know, there's I never can really understand if people want to miss worship. Because worship does something for you that the message doesn't. Worship fills you. The Bible says, be being filled with the Spirit. So we are filled with the Spirit, but when we worship, we are being filled, being refilled. Amen? Wonderful. Well, we're so glad that you're here, and welcome to each and every one of you. We have viewers that watch us from around the world. We're so glad you joined us this morning. I don't see any new visitors this morning. I see some old faces I'm glad to see. But we're so glad. I know that over the Christmas season, we're all going to be bringing our friends and family to all the wonderful events that we have over December. I just want to remind, for the benefit of those here and watching online, there's various ways you can watch us. You can watch us on Facebook Live. You can watch on ascendchurch.us, our website. You can watch on our mobile app, which if you don't have, download it. And you can go to the website for that. You can watch on YouTube, Ascend Church Jupiter, which I love YouTube because you don't get all the announcements and everything. You just get the message just coming up. So it's nice to be able to re-listen. But wherever you're watching from, let us know. Just comment on the message and just receive from the Lord today. We're so glad that you're joining us. And we are going to be passing our register around. Please just let us know you are here and any changes to your phone or email. We'd appreciate that. And this is a time in the service where we're going to receive our offering. And I love we have the opportunity to give into the house of God. Amen. And for those of you watching, it's various ways you can give. You can just click the button give on Facebook, on our website. It'll come up on the screen, the various ways to give. But I always just like to read a scripture to encourage us in this time of giving. First, I want to just tell you a quick little story. Ann Landers wrote a column. And one time she got a letter in from a girl who said, I want to tell you about a story about my uncle and my aunt. She said, my uncle was the tightest man you've ever met. She said, every time he earned money, he took a $20 bill and he shoved it under his mattress. All through his life, he was putting $20 bills under his mattress. He said to his wife, he became sick, and he said to his wife, I want you to promise me something. He said, when I die, I want you to take all that money under my mattress, and I want you to put it in my coffin with me. And she said, okay, I'll do what you want me to do. And so his wife was good to her word. And when he died, she took all the money from under his mattress. She went and deposited it in the bank, and she put a check in his coffin with him. So everybody, win-win situation, right? But anyway, you know what the truth is? We can't take it with us. Amen? Everything, we came here with nothing. We're leaving, I promise you, with nothing. Amen? And so I want to read from Philippians 1, verse 3. Even though we can take it with us, we can make a difference with our money. Amen? Philippians 1, verse 3. He writes and he says, every time I think of you, I give thanks to my God. Whenever I pray, I make my requests for all of you with joy. For you have been my partners in spreading the good news about Christ from the first time you heard it until now. The Amplified Bible says, thank you for your contributions and partnership. I like that word, partnership, right? So as we tithe and as we give offerings into the church, into this church, Ascend Church, we become a partner with whatever the church is doing. Amen. And the advancement of the kingdom, we are participating in the advancement of the kingdom. Remember Jesus said in Matthew 6, he said, make the kingdom of God your primary concern. Amen. And verse 6, he says, and I am certain. So after he commends him and says how thankful he is for their partnership, we should have the scripture. Galatians 1, I think. Okay, verse 6. And I'm certain, this is, he knows after he's prayed for them, thank God for all their contributions and partnership. He said, I'm certain that God who began the good work within you will continue his work until it is finally finished on the day when Christ Jesus returns. He said, so it is right to feel that I should feel as I do about all of you, for you have a special place in my heart. You share with me in the special favor of God, both in my imprisonment and in defending and confirming the truth of God's good news. So he was so thankful. Paul was so thankful for the people that contributed. And we have our regular tithes and offerings, but during the month of December, we always have our Heart for the House Christmas year-end offering, which is when we ask you to pray and consider, we give you the opportunity to give above and beyond what you normally give, to give to sow for God's increase in your life in the year to come, to stretch your faith with seed in the ground for what you believe in God for, to bless this house. You know, the tithes and offerings in this house go to the running of the church, and the Heart for the House offering is for anything over. If we want to do more than what we're doing, this is what propels us into the new year to be able to do more. Amen. And there's three things. Thanks, Richard. Oh, whoever's, just give me those 3 points again. We give because God's house matters. Amen. That's the only thing in the Bible that it says that God is building, is his house. Second of all, we give because people matter. Jesus went to every length because people matter. And thirdly, because this city matters. And I would say the nations of the world. Amen. In the next few weeks, we'll be sharing with you all the things that we've accomplished through this year. The missions, the local missions that we've supported, the international missions that our church has partnered with. But we want to ask you to take one of these envelopes from the seats in front of you, the one with the green on it. If you need to go home and pray about it, just seek the Lord. Let him direct you. He knows what you need. He knows what each one of us, that's what exactly what we're going to do. And when you bring that into the house of God, write on there what you believe in God for in the year to come. And that you can also, when you give online, there is a category for Heart for the House. So thank you for doing that. And as we give our regular tithes and offerings right now, I want you to hold them in your hand. Do you want to come and pray, my darling?
morning, everybody. Are you happy today? Look happy today. Smile. You're in God's house today. There's nowhere else I would rather be in the whole world than in the house of God on Sunday morning. Amen?
Amen.
I wouldn't want to be on a 100-foot yacht right now. I wouldn't want to be in any fancy resort. The house of God, Sunday morning, there's nowhere else I want to be. I just want to say that when you give to this church, you are investing. Am I still on? Am I still coming through? You are investing in the kingdom of God. And when you invest in the kingdom of God, you're investing in your own life. Because you can never outgive God. And here's what I've found. When you take care of God's house, God takes care of your house. So thank you for your giving and to our faithful tithers week after week. We so appreciate your faithfulness. But you know what is not so important that we appreciate it? It's that God honors your giving and He honors your faithfulness. And the Bible says that He opens the windows of heaven and He pours blessing. I'm believing God, the windows of heaven are open above your life, and God is pouring blessing upon blessing upon blessing upon your life. Amen. Father, I thank you for every giver, tither in this church. Thank you for those who are so faithful week after week, Lord, to honor you and to put you first. And I thank you, Father, you said that when we bring your tithe into the storehouse, that you open the floodgates of heaven and you pour blessing upon blessing and you rebuke the devourer. I thank you, Father, that the windows of heaven are open above your people today. And I thank you that you are pouring blessing upon them. I thank you for speaking to people's hearts about what you would have them to do for the heart, for the house. And I thank you, Jesus, you said that when we put your kingdom first, that all these other things will be added, will be given to us. I thank you, Father, that blessings are chasing us down and overtaking us. I thank you, Father, for supernatural financial breakthroughs in people's lives. In the name of Jesus, thank you for bringing increase, Father, in Jesus' name. Amen and amen. Did they already hand the offering? Buckers, you're going to do that now? Okay, they're going to hand it out now. So, did you mention the Christmas events? You can do that. Let me just mention to you over Christmas time what we have happening in December at Ascend Church. Next Sunday is our Christmas Around the World Potluck Lunch. So we're asking you to bring a dish, something maybe that is traditional to your culture, and we're all going to bring food next week. We're going to have a great time, potluck lunch after church next Sunday. And then on the 18th of December, we have our live nativity scene with the petting zoo. We have the Ascend Kids have their happy birthday Jesus Christmas party. Every child receives a gift at that party, and if any of the kids bring a friend, their friend gets a gift too. Then on, we also have the youth are having their Christmas party on the 18th at 5 p.m. on the 18th. Then on Saturday, December 24th, that's Christmas Eve, we are having a service at 6 p.m. It'll be online and in person. We'll be having Christmas carols, family photo op. Then on Sunday, Christmas Day, 25th of December, we're not having a live service. I'm going to film. We're going to have an online service. It'll be different to Christmas Eve. Totally different service, different songs, different sermon, everything different. What I'm hoping is that on Christmas Day, that you'll gather together with your family at some time and you'll watch our Christmas service. It's probably going to be about 45 minutes long. But you know, that's what we did when our kids were little. On Christmas Day, we'd gather them all together. They'd be itching at the bit to open their gifts. And I'd say, no, hold on now. First, we're going to read about the Christmas story with Jesus. And I'd read to them from the book of Matthew, from the book of Luke, about the birth of Jesus, because that's what we're celebrating, isn't it? You teach your kids that Christmas is not about getting presents. It's not about, for us would be turkey or ham, or that's all wonderful, but it's all about Jesus. We say that, but yet often our actions don't match it, because we have time for Christmas parties, we have time for Christmas shopping, but some people, they don't have time to come to church on Christmas Eve and worship the Lord, because their other things are much more important than worshiping Jesus. I'm telling you, you've got to get your priorities in order now. If you want your kids to grow up and serve God, you've got to show them that He really is first. Not just say it, but you've got to be the example, and you've got to live it before them. Amen? And let me tell you, Christmas Eve should be one of our biggest services of the entire year. We come to honor and worship Jesus. That's what Christmas is all about. You got a party? Go to it afterwards. Go to it before. But put Jesus first. Amen? And before we get into God's word today, I want to ask you to stand up with me one more time. And we're gonna worship God. You know, I can tell a lot about you by how you worship. I can tell a lot about where you stand with God by how you worship. Because when you're on fire for the Lord, you can't help but give Him praise and worship Him and honor Him. And I don't know if some people think they're too cool to worship. Some guys think they're too tough. Let me tell you, David was a tough guy. David was a warrior. David was a champion. David took down Goliath when the entire army of Israel were hiding in their tents. And David would worship God in his underwear, in the streets, walking and praising God with all his might in the streets, because David knew where his help came from. And David was not embarrassed to give God praise. And I want to encourage you, man, to worship the Lord. I love what you said. Some people, we have people that come after worship, and they don't realize that there's something you receive from God when you worship Him that you don't receive in the teaching. Two different things here. So we're in a series. It's called The Rescue. And this song we're going to sing is called Came to My Rescue. Aren't you glad that God sent Jesus to the earth to rescue us from our sin, to rescue us from hell, to rescue us from this world around us? I'm so thankful that Jesus came to the earth to rescue me. That's what Christmas time is all about. And I want to encourage you to sing with us today. Just lift your voice today, to lift your hands today, and to just give God your best and let Him know that you appreciate Jesus coming to rescue us. Can you say amen, somebody? Come on, who's singing for us? Let's go. We worship You. We praise You. Thank you.
God of mercy, humbled I bow down in your presence at your throne. Oh,
I call, you answer, and you came to my rescue.
That you loved us so much that you sent your only son, Jesus, to come to this earth, to die on a cross, to take our sin, to rescue us. We thank you, Father, that you have sent your Holy Spirit to empower us to be witnesses, to tell about what Jesus has done, that we may rescue others who are lost. Father, today I thank you that you are here, Lord. Your Holy Spirit is here. I thank you, Lord, that you speak to every heart. Lord, I'm trusting you to anoint me to teach and preach your word. I'm not trusting myself. And I thank you for opening the eyes of our heart. I thank you, Lord, today for giving us. I pray that every person would have a passion, would have a burden to win lost souls to Jesus. I pray, Lord, you'd fill us with the boldness today to speak for you. And Lord, I give you all praise for everything that will be said and done. In the name of Jesus, if you agree, say amen. Amen. Turn and say hi to somebody. Welcome them. Tom, would you mind grabbing that for me there? Say hi to someone. Praise the Lord. How's everyone doing today? I said, how's everyone doing today? Thanks, Domini. You doing awesome. I can hear that. Praise the Lord. Turn that a little bit this way for me. There we go. Just like that. Perfect. Got it? Just rest the ring on there. Put this here. Will that hold? I'll do it the other way. There you go, like that. Glad we figured that out. That's our next project. Well, praise the Lord, everybody. We are in this is week two of our series. We've been talking about the rescue. And I told you about Ed Young, Pastor Ed Young. I've got a bit of an echo going on here. Pastor Ed Young came and preached at our church a number of years ago, about 12 years ago. And I never forget, he preached a sermon called The Ring is the Thing. The ring is the thing. What does that mean? Well, this represents Jesus. Jesus came to rescue us. And I told you how Ed told the story of how he rescued a drowning man who was drowning. They were out fishing with he and his friend, and they were on their way back into the marina, and they saw splashing, and they rowed over, found there was a man who was drowning, and they got him into the boat. He was a big guy. They got him in their boat. They just had a little boat, like 16 feet. They got him in. Thank God he was vomiting up salt water. I mean, he was in the process of drowning when they found him. He wasn't making much sound. He was going down. And they pulled him in the boat, took him over to his own boat. He was okay. Then they were headed back. They went back into the headed to the marina. And as they were driving in the marina, they saw, because when you go to any marina, there's lots of boats. There's lots of yachts in a marina. And they're just sitting there. 90% of yachts just sit on the water and rot. 90% of them. So anyway, they're going to the marina. And they see this big yacht. And there's a couple. And they're sitting on the deck. And the guy's like real muscle ripped, you know. Kind of like me. Just imagine that. And the woman is beautiful, little tiny bikini, and they wave and they smile at Ed, you know, as he comes in. And then the guy smacks the girl on the butt. I trust and hope it was his wife. But they're just, you know, smiling and waving. And Ed said that like the Lord spoke to him and said, you know, that's kind of like the church. Because the church, we've got Christians, they've got their boats tied up at the marina, and they're smiling and they're waving, whacking each other on the back and having a great time of fellowship. And meanwhile, all around, people are drowning. Around us, people are drowning. This guy was drowning out there. They weren't even aware of it. And sometimes the church is like that. It's like we're unaware. We've been rescued. I'm okay. But there's people all around us that are drowning. And you know, the Bible is a book about the rescue. That's what it's all about. It's about God rescuing humanity. Amen? That's what the Bible is all about. It's about God sending his son Jesus to come to the earth, to die on a cross, to give his life so that he could pay the penalty for our sin, so that he could defeat sin, defeat death, hell, rise from the dead, and give us the opportunity to be saved, to be rescued by receiving Jesus, the ring, into our life. And we can be rescued from sin and rescued from hell. Remember, the ring is the thing. The hope is the rope. And the rope is attached to the only thing that Jesus ever built, and that is the church. It's attached to the church. And what happens? The ring is the thing. The hope is the rope. We all pull so the house can be full. Amen. Hebrews chapter 9, verse 15 says, Christ died to rescue them from the penalty of the sins that they had committed. Say, Jesus died to rescue me. And in Colossians 1, verse 13, it says, he has rescued us from the kingdom of darkness. I used to be in the kingdom of darkness. I'm thank God I'm not in that kingdom anymore. He has transferred us into the kingdom of the Son of his love. In Galatians 1 verse 4, it says, Jesus Christ rescued us from this evil world by offering himself as a sacrifice for our sins. God's plan is that we all experience that rescue. You see, God wants everyone saved. God doesn't want anyone to drown. He wants us all to experience being rescued. Amen? When it comes to rescue, the ring is the thing. The hope is the rope. The rope is tethered to the only thing Jesus ever built, the church. We all pull so the house can be full. Most of us here today, I would say, we've already been rescued. Raise your hand if you've already received Jesus in your life. Wave your hand at me. I'm looking at the rescued. In fact, pretty much everybody in here has been rescued. We were sinking, but we grabbed the life ring, and now we're saved. Now, there may be some in here or some watching this that you haven't experienced that rescue. You're drowning. You may not even realize it, but you're drowning. You're facing an eternity in hell. When someone is drowning, you know, the first thing that they tell us that you experience, a person who drowns, do you know what it is, James? Surprise. I can't believe this is happening to me. It's the first thing they experience. It's like surprise and shock. And there's a lot of people today, when you tell them you're drowning, they're like, surprise, what, me? The church is a rescue society. And God wants us all to be involved in this rescue. Now, we do this corporately as a church. We do this together. But you know people that I don't know, and you invite them to church, and I preach the word of God, and we have our singers and musicians. They do what they do. They're anointed. They lead us in worship, and we got our everyone, the people in children's church, they're helping, and our media team, and Pastor Jill gets happy, and the Lord uses her, and then I speak and teach the word of God, and we always give an altar call, you know, every Sunday for people to receive the ring, for people to receive Jesus. We give an altar call every Sunday, don't we? And if you're involved, if you're serving at Ascend Church, you're helping. You're part of the pool. If you're in the media department, you're helping us with the pool. You're on the rope here. If you're in the media team, you're on the rope. If you're greeting at the front door, you're on the rope. If you're in the children's church, you're on the rope. If you're involved, you're helping us pull corporately to pull and to rescue people. But Jesus challenges us to also reach out and rescue people individually. Because you see, you're a Christian, you're a follower of Jesus, and part of your standard equipment that you carry around everywhere you go is the ring, everywhere you go. Because you carry Jesus everywhere you go. Amen? And Jesus said in Acts 1 verse 8, you will receive power when the Holy Spirit comes upon you, and you will be my witnesses, telling people about me everywhere. you will be my witnesses. Say, I will be his witness, telling people about him everywhere I go. You will be my witnesses. What is a witness? It's someone who testifies, something that happened to them. Someone who gives evidence of an event from personal observation. What did you see? What happened to you? What did you witness? Can I tell you God's plan A? You are God's plan A. You will be my witnesses. You God's plan A. And do you know there's no plan B? There's no plan B. God uses people to share his message. Think about how Jesus called the disciples. And then they found other people that they knew. And they reached them. That's the biblical pattern and mandate. So today I'm still in the process of motivating you. I'm trying to inspire you. Because did anyone bring someone with you to church today? Anyone bring someone with you today? So that means I still need to preach about this. And we're going to keep on preaching about this until we get it. Because this is the main thing. There's nothing more important than what I'm talking about today. It's why we're here. If we're not here to rescue people, I'm ready to go home right now. I'll go to Jesus right now because I had enough of the world already. I'm ready to go home right now. I mean it. I'll go home right now. The only thing that's keeping me here is God's got a purpose for me. God's got a purpose for you. And what is it? There's people still need to be rescued. There's people around drowning all around us. So why should you be a witness? Number one, because Jesus told us to. That's the first reason. In Matthew 28, verse 19, Jesus said, go and make disciples. Tell your neighbor, go make disciples. Go make disciples of all the nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit. Teach these new disciples. So go make disciples, and then what? Then teach these new disciples. Can I tell you, I'm not the only person here teaching the Word of God. Every single one of you is supposed to be teaching what you've learned to the people that you lead to Christ. Now, for me not to do this, I have to turn my back on Jesus' command and say, no, I'm not doing that. If I'm not involved individually in the process of making disciples, then I've turned my back on Jesus' command. You see, we come up with all these excuses. You know, excuse. We got all these excuses of why, you know, we can't do what Jesus told us to do. Well, Pastor Steve, I'm shy. I'm so shy. I'm very shy, Pastor Steve. Yeah. We get you excited about something and you won't be shy anymore. When you are passionate about something, you're not shy anymore. To be honest with you, I'm also shy. My natural nature is not extrovert. My natural nature, I'm in the corner at parties. That's my natural nature. Is that true? I would go to Jill's house when I was 16 years old and have dinner, and have lunch and not say one word. Well, not one word. I'd reply if I was spoken to. But if I wasn't spoken to, I would sit there and not say a word. True? This is not my natural nature. But you see, when you say, Lord, yes, I'll do what you've called me to do, God empowers you to do what you couldn't do by yourself. Amen. Oh, I don't want to bother people. We come up with these excuses. I don't want to bother people. I can't do that because of the things in my past, Pastor Steve. You don't know the things in my past. So many of us have so much shame in our life. We think, well, who am I to toss the ring? But here's the great thing about God. No matter what you've gone through and no matter what you've done, I don't care if you've been in prison, if you've been a drug addict, if you've been in prostitution, immorality, a criminal, whatever it is, God will use that to connect you with people that will suddenly open up as you share your rescue story. They will open up to you and you can toss them the ring. Are you with me? Some people, another excuse we come up with is, well, I don't want to push religion on people. I don't want to be made fun of. I don't want to be rejected. What about your friends, people you know who are drowning? Because we are to be in the disciple-making business. What is a disciple? It's a follower of Christ. That's what it is, a follower of Jesus. And we commanded. This is not a suggestion. This is not if we can fit it in our busy schedule. This is a command to make disciples, to share the gospel with lost people, to lead them to Christ. This is what God has called and commanded us. And then we disciple those people. How do you do that? You teach them what you've learned. You encourage them. You encourage them to come. You bring them to church. You sit with them. You go with them to Connect Group. You come with them. You bring them to prayer on Thursdays. You bring them to youth meeting. You share what you've learned. You encourage them to serve like you serve. Now, if you don't serve, then that's why it's hard sometimes to disciple others, because you've got to be a disciple yourself. You've got to be serving yourself. You've got to be coming to prayer yourself. But let me tell you, when you start reaching out and sharing your faith, tossing the ring, talking about Jesus, telling your story, bringing people to Christ, bringing people to church, that is what will keep the excitement for the Lord like nothing else in your life when you're involved in doing that. When you're not involved in that, and it's every week you just come to church by yourself week after week, and you just sit and you just soak up the word, and you're so spiritually, you're like 500 pounds spiritually, you're so fat spiritually, because you just keep on hearing the word, hearing the word. You don't need another message. You need to simply reach out and start ministering and reaching others, and that'll do something in you that nothing else will do. There's something that happens to you that nothing else does when you know, I'm meeting that person at church. I led them to Jesus. I've got to sit with them. I mean, that's when things, God is using you. The Holy Spirit was working through you, and it keeps the fire for the Lord burning in your life. So here's my question. Who are you discipling right now? Who are you discipling right now? Here's another question. Have you ever discipled somebody in your life? I've got to ask the question, what is wrong with us? What is the problem? Because 96% of Christians have never shared their faith. 96% of Christians have never shared their faith. Yet Jesus said in John 14, in verse 15, he said, if you love me, show it by doing what I've told you. If you love me, show it by doing what I've told you. So if we love the Lord, we've got to show that we love him by doing what he told us to do. And the number one thing he told us to do is go and make disciples. That's number one. Say amen, somebody. The Apostle John said, 1 John 5, verse 3, the proof that we love God comes when we keep his commandments. See, that's the proof that someone loves God. Actions speak louder than words. In Philemon 1, verse 6, the Apostle Paul, he said, I pray that you may be active in sharing your faith. I pray that you may be active in sharing your faith so that you will have a full understanding of every good thing we have in Christ. Do you know the Bible says that when you begin to share your faith, you get a better understanding of what you have in Christ? Are you with me? Of who you are. Because the more you talk about Jesus and you tell people how good he is and you tell people what God's done in your life, what happens? You start to understand even greater what God has done for you. God wants us to be active in sharing our faith. Amen. And sharing your faith benefits your own spiritual growth. Let me tell you, the first time you lead someone to Jesus, your life will never be the same. Because it's the greatest thing that you can do in all the world. The greatest thing you can do with your life
is to share the gospel with lost, drowning people. There is nothing that is as important as sharing the good news of the gospel. And next week, I'm going to teach you how. Real simple. I'm going to make this so simple, a baby can understand it. Because I think a lot of reason people don't share their faith, Christians, is they don't know how. I'm going to make this so simple. For you to, first of all, you need to know your story, your testimony, and then I'm going to tell you how to share the gospel. Real, real, real simple. But you see, Jesus came to the earth to seek and save lost people. And he gave us the same mission. In Luke 19:10, Jesus said, "The Son of Man came to seek and save the lost." Why did Jesus come? To seek and save the lost. That's why you read Jesus. He was always off seeking something. Do you know there are 40 different accounts of Jesus going after an individual. 40 different times where he went to the woman at the well in Samaria. One woman. He went out of his way for that one woman. Jesus said in John 17 verse 18, "In the same way that you gave me a mission in the world, I give them a mission in the world." We have a mission. What's the mission? Seek and save the lost. Say, "God's given me a mission." God has given you and me a mission. Seek and save the lost. Number two, why should I do this? Because our culture is in crisis. Has anyone else noticed that the world's gone crazy? Am I the only one? What used to be right is now wrong. And what used to be wrong is now right. Do you know the Bible? Do you know the Bible prophesied that would happen? Isaiah 5, verse 20. "Woe to those who say that right is wrong, and what is wrong is right, that black is white, and white is black." You see, our culture we live in today tells us if you hold biblical values, there's something wrong with you. You're guilty of hate speech. If you believe biblical standards, if you don't celebrate the LGBTQRSLS gender, if you don't celebrate it, if you don't want your kids in kindergarten to be taught about transgender, if you don't want drag queens talking to your children, then you are a terrorist. That's what the culture is telling us right now. Do you know that? What used to be wrong is now, that's right. And what used to be right is now wrong. I believe the Word of God, and I'm holding to biblical standards. I don't care if it's the year 2078. I am holding fast to what God said in His Word, because God's Word never changed. Amen. And I believe that, I thank God we live in a country like America where everybody has the freedom to make their own choice. Thank God for that. But I don't have to agree with your choices. I don't have to celebrate your choices. You don't have to agree with my choices. Just what it is now is that if you're a Christian, you get persecuted because of what you stand for. You're a white supremacist. That's the worst thing you can ever be, is a white supremacist. Do you know that Christians are being called white supremacists because we hold fast to biblical values? I happen to believe that marriage is between a man and a woman. If you want to marry a man, go right ahead. I don't agree and I don't celebrate it. I still love you. God loves you, but I'm not going to ever agree with that. And the day they tell me, if you don't marry homosexuals, we will take away your tax-exempt status. Bye-bye, honey. Take it. I will never bow my knee and compromise and violate God's word to be accepted by anybody. What all that is that's going on is the Antichrist spirit. That's all it is. And the Bible says in 1 John 2:18, dear children, this world's last hour has come. You've heard about the Antichrist who is coming, the one who is against Christ, and already many such persons have appeared. This makes us all the more certain that the end of the world is near. Now, let me tell you, it was bad back in the days when they wrote this, but it's worse now. It's getting worse and worse. That's what lets me know we're getting closer and closer to Jesus' return. Because the darker it gets in the world, that's how you know he's coming. He's coming back soon. Amen. This whole religion of wokeism, have you ever heard the term wokeism? It's actually a religion. And it is opposed to the gospel of Jesus Christ. If you want to know what this is all about, it's all about Jesus. That's what it all comes down to, because it's anti anything that Jesus stands for. And so the religion of wokeism, it's opposed to the gospel of Jesus, and it tries to thwart and stop it at every opportunity. We have a culture in crisis. And you know what? It's because of one word. The problems, all the problems in our society are because of one word. You know what that word is? Sin. S-I-N. Everything is traced back to that. That's the problem. And all of us without Jesus, we're sinking in sin. And many don't know this. They're surprised to hear it, you know. But if you don't receive this life ring, Jesus, you will spend eternity in a place called hell. So the stakes are sky high. We've got a culture in crisis, and we have a cause that's been commanded. Number three, why should I do this? Why should I be a witness? Because you are God's spokesperson. 2 Corinthians 5, verse number 18. And all of this is a gift from God who brought us back to himself through Christ, and God has given us the task of reconciling people to him. For God was in Christ reconciling the world to himself, no longer counting people's sins against them, and he gave us this wonderful message of reconciliation. It says in verse 20, so we are Christ's ambassadors, and God is making his appeal through us. We speak for Christ. Say, I speak for Christ. Say, I'm God's spokesperson. We speak for Christ when we plead, come back to God, turn back to God, for God made Christ, who never sinned, to be the offering for our sins so that we could be made right with God through Christ. Say, I am God's ambassador. Say, I am God's spokesperson. Let me tell you, in your body of water, that means that in your world where you live, you are God's spokesperson. God has given you and me the task of rescuing people. You speak for Christ. People in your world need you. They need your personality. They need your gifting. They need your pain. They need your successes. God wants to use your story. You're his voice. He wants to use you to speak for him. Amen. Wherever you go to school, you speak for him. You are God's ambassador at your school. Think about all the people you know at school that I don't know. 96% of Christians have never shared the gospel. We've all probably had times. We've all had opportunities to share our faith where we didn't. Maybe we're too embarrassed. Maybe we were a bit ashamed because we listened to the lies of the enemy. Oh, I shouldn't say something. They might take it the wrong way. They might get offended at me. Or we're too fearful. Well, maybe they'll ask me a question I don't know the answer. How will I answer the question? Can I tell you something? When you start speaking for the Lord and telling your story, you're going to be fearful sometimes. You're going to be, you're not going to know the answer to every question. I don't know the answer to every question. But you just call to throw the ring. You just call to throw the ring to share Jesus with them. That's all you call to do is throw the ring. You don't save anybody. He does it. You know, God's the God does the rescuing. Amen. You throw and God tows. We command it over and over and over again to witness. Tell your story. Share the gospel. You know that most people become Christians, they become followers of Christ in a one-on-one setting and not in a church like this. Now, I got saved in a church like this, but most people, if you research it, you'll find that they got saved in a one-on-one. Somebody was one-on-one. Amen. Now, we do share the gospel here. What's the gospel? It's the death and resurrection of Jesus. Every Sunday, we give people a chance, an opportunity to receive the ring. Every Sunday, we give people an opportunity to receive Jesus in their life. But most people, they receive Christ in a one-on-one setting. So we need to be personally witnessing. Amen. Because we are God's spokesperson. We share the gospel, and the gospel has the power to save people. Romans 1, verse 16, Paul said, I'm not ashamed of this good news about Christ. Say, I'm not ashamed. I'm not ashamed about the good news about Christ. It is the power of God at work. It is the power of God at work, saving everyone who believes, the Jew first and also the Gentile. The New Living Bible says, I'm not ashamed of this good news about Christ. It is God's powerful method of bringing all who believe it to heaven. This message was preached first to the Jews alone, but now everyone is invited to come to God in the same way. I'm not ashamed of the gospel. It is God's powerful method of bringing everyone who believes to heaven. See, don't be ashamed to share the gospel. Don't be ashamed. The gospel contains the power of God. You just got to share it, and God's power is contained in that gospel that you share. In Mark 8, verse 38, Jesus said, if anyone is ashamed of me and my message in these adulterous and sinful days, the Son of Man will be ashamed of that person when he returns in his glory with all these angels in heaven. I don't want Jesus to be ashamed of me, so I'm not going to be ashamed of him in this world. Can you say amen? The gospel is the power of God at work. You're carrying around the power of God everywhere you go, to every meeting you attend. Every sports game you go to, every time you go play golf, every time you go work out at the gym, every time you go shopping, every time you go to school, every time you're carrying with you the power of God, the gospel, the power to transform lives. And too many times we forget that. Too many times we get so involved and wrapped up in other things. Sometimes I've got to be careful I don't get so busy with church business that I forget to allow God to do business in my life, which is what? Which is throwing that ring, sharing that the good news. Whenever you meet someone, if you really are a rescuer, when you meet somebody, your first thought, you know what it's going to be? I wonder if this person's saved. I wonder if they're a follower of Jesus. I wonder if they've been rescued. And your next thought is, Lord, what part do you want me to play in this rescue operation? Are you with me? Because sometimes you share the gospel and it doesn't look like they received it. They might even make fun of you. But what you don't know is that seed went down in their heart. And then 6 months later, someone else comes along and they share the gospel. And now this person is really facing some kind of problem. And all of a sudden, they receive the Lord. But you see, you had a part in it. Are you following with me? Number four, why should I do this? Because of the reality of hell. Last week, I gave you a lot of scriptures about hell. Most churches don't talk about hell. Most Christians don't even think there is a hell. Jesus Christ spoke a lot about hell. He told a story about Lazarus and a rich man. They both died. They knew each other. Lazarus went to heaven. The rich man went to hell. And he hadn't been in hell 5 minutes before he turned into this evangelist. Look what he said, Luke 16. The rich man said, I ask you, Father Abraham, please send Lazarus to my relatives. Tell him to witness to my five brothers and to warn them not to end up where I am in this place of torment. You see, once you leave this earth, it's too late. The Bible says today is the day of salvation. Today is the day of salvation. Amen. But this rich man went to hell, and all of a sudden he became an evangelist, man. Please, Abraham, send someone. Send someone to my house. Send someone to warn them. Send someone to witness to them. You just have to be in hell for 20 seconds. And all you'll think about is all the people that need to be, that you don't want to come here. Are you with me? Jesus also said this about hell. In Matthew 10, verse 28, do not fear those who kill the body, cannot kill the soul, but rather fear him who is able to destroy both soul and body in hell. Mark 9:43. If your hand causes you to sin, cut it off. It's better to enter into eternal life with only one hand than to go into the unquenchable fires of hell with two hands. Matthew 25:41. Then he will say to those on the left hand, depart from me, you cursed, into the everlasting fire, prepared for the devil and his angels. You see, God never made hell for people. He made it for the devil. But you can go there if you want to. And if you don't receive Jesus, that's where you're going. If you don't receive Jesus, is the only way. And if you don't receive him, you will go to hell. 2 Thessalonians 1:9. They will be punished in everlasting hell, forever separated from the Lord. In Matthew 7:13, Jesus said, heaven can be entered only through the narrow gate. The highway to hell is broad, and the gate is wide. It's wide enough for all the multitudes that choose. It's easy. It's easy to go to hell. Just don't do anything. You'll go right in there. But to go to heaven, it's a choice. And there's only one gate to heaven. How many of you know what it is? There's only one gate to heaven. Give it to me, Richard. John 10:9. Jesus said, I am the gate. Those who come in through me will be saved. Jesus is the only way. Not Muhammad. Not Confucius. Not Buddha. None of those guys are going to help you. They're in hell themselves. The only one. Jesus is the only gate. Jesus is the only way. And can I tell you, if we really believed in hell, it would change our priorities. It would change everything we do. Every day you talk to people who are going to hell, unless someone rescues them. If we really understood and believed that, it would change the way we pray. It would change the way we preach. It would change the way we talk. If we believed the Bible, we would understand many of our family and our friends are going to hell. It doesn't matter how successful you are on this earth. It doesn't matter how much fame you have, how much money you have, how popular you are. People without Jesus are going to hell. And it is a place of torment, and it is forever and ever. Now, that motivates me. I don't want people to go to hell. In Mark 8:36, Jesus said, what will it profit a man if he gains the whole world and he loses his own soul? The Passion Bible says it like this. What use is it to gain all the wealth and power of this world with everything it could offer you at the cost of your own life? And what could be more valuable to you than your own soul? And if you're ashamed of me and my words while living among sinful and faithless people, then I, the Son of Man, will also be ashamed of you when I make my appearance with my holy messengers in the glorious splendor of my Father. There is no, I don't know about you, but to me, there is nothing in this world that is worth an eternity in hell. There is nothing in this world that is worth an eternity in hell. And if there's no hell, we might as well just party every day, party every night. We might as well just party, man. That's what the Apostle Paul said in 1 Corinthians 15, verse 32. If we will never live again after we die, we might as well go and have ourselves a good time. Come on, let's eat, drink, and be merry. What's the difference? Tomorrow we die, it ends everything. You see, if I really thought there was no hell, I would have no restraints. There wouldn't be nothing I wouldn't do. Anything didn't get me in prison. But I would have no restraints. I would go flat out, man. You know what restrains me? There is a hell. And there ain't nothing that is worth spending eternity in hell. There ain't no pleasures, no Playboy bunnies. There ain't nothing that is worth an eternity in hell. And hell's a real place. It's a place of eternal torment. That should change the way we look at our lives, at our money, at our time, at our relationships. Should change everything. Amen. Number five, why should I do this? Because of the celebration and the rewards in eternity. Jesus said in Luke 15, verse 7, I'm trying to wrap this up, but Jesus said, there will be a glorious celebration in heaven over the rescue of one lost sinner who repents, comes back home and returns to the fold, more so than for all the righteous people who never strayed away. There's a celebration when one person is rescued. In John chapter 4, Jesus and the disciples, they were on their way to Samaria. He sent them into town to go buy some food, and he sat at a well, and he was talking to a Samaritan woman. She was amazed he would talk to her, because in those days, Samaritans and Jews didn't have any kind of interaction. And not only that, she was a woman. And a man in those days didn't just go up and talk to a woman. They just didn't do that. So she was amazed, and Jesus started telling all about her life. And she was like, oh man, this man's a prophet. She ran into town, and she told everybody about Jesus. And when the disciples returned, he said to them, in verse 35, he said, as the crowds emerged from the village, because they were all coming now, because this woman was telling them about Jesus, Jesus said to his disciples, why would you say that the harvest is another 4 months away? Look at all the people coming. Now is harvest time. Their hearts are like vast fields of ripened grain, ready for harvest. And everyone who reaps these souls for eternal life will receive a reward. Both those who plant spiritual seeds and those who reap their spiritual harvest will celebrate together with great joy. And this confirms the saying, one sows the seed and another one reaps the harvest. I have sent you out to harvest a field you haven't planted, where many others have labored long and hard before you, and now you are privileged to profit from their labors and reap the harvest. And many from the Samaritan village became believers in Jesus because of what? Because of the woman's testimony. He told me everything I ever did. And they begged Jesus to stay with them. So he stayed there for 2 days, resulting in many more coming to faith because of his message. See, the Bible says in Proverbs 11, all who win souls are wise. And then in Daniel chapter 12, verse 3, it says, all those who are wise will shine as bright as the sky. And those who lead many to righteousness will shine like the stars forever. Do you know who are the true stars in heaven? Soul winners. It's not the greatest quarterback in the NFL. That means nothing in heaven. It's not who made some great movie and the best actor. Not stars in heaven. No stars in heaven? Soul winners. Those are the stars in God's eyes. Sharing the gospel is something that even angels cannot do. An angel appeared to a man named Cornelius in the Bible. He was an Italian Roman centurion. And the angel appeared and said, go call for Peter. Go to his house. Send someone to his house, because when he comes, he's going to tell you, look what it said, Acts 11, verse 14. He will tell you words by which you and your household will be saved. So the angel appears to Cornelius and said, call for Peter. He's going to tell you words by which you'll be saved. Why didn't the angel just tell him? because angels can't preach the gospel. Only you and I are privileged to share the gospel. And we're going to discover how to do this. You can know how to do this. How do you get in a conversation with someone about this? I'm going to teach you how. We're going to find out how to know when it's time to back off. Every one of us can do this. Number six, I'm almost done. Why should I do this? Because it releases the power of the Holy Spirit to work in your life. Jesus sent the Holy Spirit to empower us to be witnesses for Him. And if you want to see the Holy Spirit work through your life like you've never seen before, the number one way is start sharing your faith. Start sharing your faith. Watch what happens. See, Jesus said in Matthew 10, verse 19, He said, don't worry about how to speak, or don't worry what you're going to say. For the Holy Spirit will give you the words to speak. It won't be you speaking. It will be the Holy Spirit speaking through you. When you start speaking for the Lord, I can't tell you how many times this happened to me. And all of a sudden, these words, it's like, where'd that come from? Where'd that come from? It's like the Holy Spirit begins to speak through me. He starts to guide me. That's what will happen. That's why He came. You got to be ready to tell your own story. Remember, we said this last week in 1 Peter 3, verse 15. If anyone asks you about the hope that's living within you, always be ready to explain your faith with gentleness and respect. In other words, you've got to prepare your story, your testimony. Your story consists of three parts. Number one, what was your life like before you received Jesus? Number two, how did you receive Jesus and become a follower of Him? And number three, what has God done in your life since you received Jesus? So it's before, how I received Him, and what God's done in my life. You should, on the handout that you got today, on the back, I ask you, go home. Don't do it now. Go home and just write, prepare your story. Be able to tell your testimony in a matter of a few minutes. Are you with me? And now, you also need to know how to share the gospel. We're going to get into that next week. But ultimately, when you start witnessing for the Lord, the Holy Spirit, He will begin to work through you. And you'll be amazed, man. You'll be like, where'd that come from? I never knew that. Because this, the Holy Spirit's in you. And the word you've heard is in you. And when you start speaking for the Lord, it comes out of you. Number seven, why should I do this? Because it gets my priorities in order. When I get involved personally in the rescue, it changes my priorities. It centers me biblically. If you're not sharing your faith, let me tell you, it's easy to go off the deep end. I see Christians, they're chasing all this weird, wonderful stuff. All this crazy, weird stuff. But evangelism keeps you focused on the main thing. You keep focused on the main thing. And number eight, and I'll close with this. Why should I do this? Because it gives you an eternal purpose in life. When I'm involved in the rescue, I have an eternal purpose. Every day when I wake up, Lord, I wonder who you're going to bring across my path today. What part I'm going to play in rescuing people. When you meet someone, the first thing you think, I wonder if they're saved. I wonder if they've been rescued. It becomes your priority. Because let me tell you've never met anyone that doesn't matter to God. Who in your life needs to be rescued? Let's go and rescue lost people. That's why Jesus was a friend of sinners. He was trying to rescue them. He was trying to save them. And as I close today, Proverbs 24, verse 11, go rescue the perishing. Go rescue the perishing. Be their savior. Why would you stand back and watch them stagger to their death? And why would you say, that's none of my business? The one who knows you completely and judges your every motive is also the keeper of your souls, not just yours. He sees through your excuses and holds you responsible for failing to help those whose lives are threatened. Listen, God is going to hold us responsible. We are His spokesman. He's told us to do this. We have a culture in crisis. We're His ambassadors. Amen. God wants to use us this way. I'm asking you, do you receive this today? Do you you receive. I'm asking you to rise up. This is what I'm asking of you, to rise up and begin to do this. Get your testimony ready. Begin to just step out and do this. Because let me tell you, I found the more I do, the easier it gets. Where I lose my, what people think about me, and you just, it just becomes part of who you are. Amen. You receive it today? Stand up with me as we close. Stand up with me. Father, we thank you today. We're so grateful. We're so thankful that you sent your son, your only son, Jesus, to come to this earth to save us, to rescue us, to pay the penalty. Father, we thank you. We are so thankful, Lord, for Jesus. We're so thankful. Somebody threw us the ring. We're so thankful that we have been saved, redeemed. We're so grateful, Lord. Father, I pray that you would use every single one of us, every single one who's listening to this today. I pray that you will use us. Speak through us. I pray that we will rise up and be bold, and we will do what you've called us to do, that we will step out in faith. We'll begin to tell our story. We'll begin to reach out to people. We'll pray for people who are lost. We'll lift them in prayer. We'll pray for them, and we'll share our faith with them, Father. I thank you, Lord, that we are not ashamed of the gospel of Jesus. It's the power of God unto salvation. Now, while you have your eyes closed and head bowed, I do want to give an opportunity, as we always do. Because I want you to know, anytime you invite someone, bring someone to church, they're going to have the opportunity to be rescued, to be saved. And if you're here today and you've never received Jesus in your life, let me tell you what would happen to you if you died today. Where would you go? Because you without Jesus, you're headed to hell for all eternity. That's what the scriptures say. And God doesn't want that. That's why he sent Jesus. I pray today that you will receive Jesus in your life. The Bible says in Romans 10, verse number 9 and 10, give that for me on the screen, it says that if you will declare with your mouth Jesus is Lord and believe in your heart that God raised him from the dead, you will be saved. If you've never done that today, I want to invite you to do it. I'm not going to embarrass you. I'm not going to ask you to stand out or come out, but right where you're standing while we have our head bowed, this is between you and God. If you've never received Jesus in your life, if you've never confessed him as Lord, I'm going to encourage you to do that today. If you were to die today, if you say, Pastor Steve, I'm not sure what would happen to me, I want to make sure. I don't want to go to hell. I want to go to heaven. I'm going to pray for you right now. I'm going to pray. If you want to be a part of this prayer, if you say, Pastor Steve, pray for me to include me in that prayer. I want to make sure that all is right and all is well between me and God. I want to make sure when I die, I want to go to heaven. I don't want to go to hell. Pray for me, Pastor Steve. If you want to be included in this prayer, just lift your hand right now. Lift it up high. I'm looking for hands. If your hand is raised, you're included in this prayer this morning. All right. Look down at me. Now, family, we're all going to do our part. I'm doing my part. I'm doing my job. I'm giving altar call every Sunday. Your part is bring somebody so they can be saved. Amen. Go out there into the fields. I want to say thank you to everyone who served today, everyone who served our media team, worship team, our usher team, our kids' church, people who came to pray, everybody who served, thank you. We love you. We'll see you next Sunday for our potluck lunch. Have a great week. Bring somebody next week.
Show me one thing he can't do. Show me a mountain he can't move. He's the God of the breakthrough, and anything is possible. Do you believe it? Yeah. Show me one thing that's too hard. Show me what earth he can't part. He's the God of the breakthrough, and anything is possible. It's possible.